Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask for guidance this morning as we together look at your holy word. And we ask that you would teach us by that word to look at our hearts to see whether they are still in working order. So may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our strength and our redeemer. Amen. Is your heart still in working order? That may seem to be a rather ambiguous question, seeing that you are in chapel and not in the doctor's office or even worse yet, the mortuary. But that question does have some validity when considered in the light of today's gospel lesson, this time in a spiritual dimension. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. He also told this parable to show me trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, did not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the others. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. So then, under the guidance of God the Holy Spirit, we will consider the theme. What is the condition of your spiritual heart? And to help us do this more easily, we will compare and contrast the two men in our text. First of all, compare the two. And looking at them in a casual sort of way, one can see that there are some similarities as concerns their spiritual heart. Verse 10 of our text tells us that both men were going to the temple. That same verse tells us that both men were taking advantage of the avenue called prayer. Both men addressed God in the same fashion, simply referring to him as God. And it seems that both men seem to know the same God. And both men were telling God what was exactly uppermost in their mind. One seems to be a little longer than the other, but both got the job done. We are constantly being compared. People always do it. The professor with the student, the parent with his child, the field worker with the member of his field work church, the pastor, or for many of us, the future pastor, with the members of his congregation. While there is no difference as far as position and rank is concerned, there are many similarities as regards our spiritual heart. We all profess to worship the same God. We all more or less come to one place to worship. And there we join in a common form of worship. And each of us is ready to admit that we take advantage of the avenue called prayer. And there we tell God, too, what is uppermost in our mind. Now, contrast the two men in our text. Again, looking at the two men in a casual sort of way, one would say that the Pharisee comes out on top. For he was the one respected by his community. And well, he could have been. Because he was the religious leader of that day. As compared to the tax collector, for Beth to be called a traitor, because she worked for a foreign government. Then two, the Pharisee seems to come out on top as far as a political and a social aspect is concerned. Even though he was impinged upon by the Roman government, he still thought that he was serving God and man to the best of his ability by the way he lived. After all, he was associating only with his fellow Jews as compared to this publican who was found associating with what we might call social outcasts and then sometimes even cheating people. And certainly, from an outward appearance, the Pharisees seemed to me the more religious of the two people. Listen again to verses 11 and 12. The Pharisee said and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I get. Even so, we as parents, as seminary students, as professors, as field workers, as pastors, as future pastors, they seem to hold an advantage. People have an impression of us, or at least a preconceived one. And in that, we might seem to be more respectable than other people when we really aren't. We might seem to have more respectability as far as the social and the political sense is concerned when we really haven't earned it. And we might even seem to be more religious when we really are not. Yet the two contrasts of the Pharisee and the publican lies in contrasting the spiritual heart. For you see, one was in tune with God and the other was not. The Pharisee was not in tune with God. Listen again to verses 11 and 12. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. I purposely emphasize the words himself and I when reading the verses this time. For you see, that was the problem with the Pharisee. He actually thought that he himself was better than God. That is not possible. God's word says, I, the Lord your God, am a holy God. And again it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This man did not actually know God. The Pharisees' religion was one of form, of ritual, and not of the heart. On the other hand, the publican, or the tax collector, was in tune with God. Listen to verse 13. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The publican saw himself as the chiefest of sinners. He saw in God the way of expiation. The prayer that he said could only be said to a merciful God, one that grants forgiveness. The publican knew of the love of God that he had revealed in the Old Testament. He knew the promises of God to be true. What has come down to us is part of the conclusion to the Ten Commandments. But showing mercy unto thousands of them that love him and keep his commandments. And that's why Jesus could say of him in verse 14 that he went down to his house justified. The application, clear, and distinct. All of us are sinners. Sometimes emphasize the word himself and I. We turn our professions into something less than being servants of the Most High God. It is not possible to do such and still be a true servant of God. God still loves to hear us say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And when those words come from the heart, those words still say what they said back then. But we see ourselves and see Jesus the sinners in need of a way of expiation, which God has so graciously given us in his Son, Jesus Christ. For you see, in Jesus Christ, he fulfilled the law that he himself had set down. The Bible puts it this way. He, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. And Jesus Christ did that for all of us, by being born as a human, by living an entirely human life, even to the point of death, by suffering separation from God for you and me. Jesus Christ is also the Son of God. And as that Son of God, he lived a perfect life. And he arose from the dead on the third day. And he ascended into heaven, only to return for me and you. That is the glory of the Christian. That's what makes his life different from others. That's what makes his life worth living for. The Christian life, then, is one of ever walking closer with God. And the closer that he walks with God, the more Satan will hound him, if he hound and question him as to the condition of his spiritual life. The closer he walks with God, the more he sees in himself his own unworthiness and his own unrighteousness. And the more he sees the need for a way of expiation, and the less he will value his own moral achievement. So then, let's check all of our hearts to see whether they are in tune with God. And if they are not, ask God for forgiveness. And by the power of his Holy Spirit, start anew. And if our hearts are in tune with God, then may we, under the guidance of his Holy Spirit, live lives that will reflect the same, and show some of the same love that he had for us in sending his Son to die for us. God grant us all his Holy Spirit to that end. Amen.